This is the State of Things broadcasting from the Triad Stage, Upstage Cabaret, downtown Greensboro. I'm Frank Stacio. The annual Dialogue on Progressive Enlightenment Conference began in 2010, and it was an outlet for discussing social concerns in black communities. The DOPE Conference brings together academics from the field of psychology and the local community on the campus of North Carolina A&T University in Greensboro. Together, they're asked to weigh how certain issues affect the African-American psyche. This year's event focuses on higher education, academic achievement and non-traditional students, colorism in the classroom, and more will be considered in the 2012 DOPE Conference. Joining us today to talk about the conference is the organizer, Brian Sims. He's an assistant professor of psychology at North Carolina A&T. Brian, welcome.
Thank you, Frank. Great to be here. Thank you.
So I've said it twice now, the African-American psyche, the DOPE Conference designed to explore the development of psychology in that community. What does that mean when I say that?
Well, much has been written, volumes, entire libraries on the particular circumstances, psychologically, sociologically, et cetera, that people of African descent find themselves on, you know, on the American landscape. So what we're really talking about when we look at psychological issues as they pertain to African Americans is how do we find ways of promoting healthy living despite the specific and unique challenges that African Americans find themselves coast to coast.
And what are those challenges?
Well, too long to list on the radio. Unfortunately, African Americans are not doing well in terms of major economic indicators. So despite what you may see on mainstream media, CNN, et cetera, African Americans still lag behind in virtually every major indicator, from health disparities to educational disparities, land ownership, incarceration, you name it, African Americans are suffering in big ways.
If you talk about African American psychology, it seems to me we come dangerously close to a kind of racism.
No, I wouldn't say so. So racism has a specific political, economic sort of connotation to it. So usually when you talk about racism, you talk about power differentials over folks who have access to resources and ways that they deal with those power relationships to the detriment of individuals at the bottom. So usually racism refers to that. African or African American psychology is really less about intersecting with other groups and more so about finding ways to link to ancient or cultural understandings of the world that have been shown to be helpful for African folks.
So tell us a little bit about the conference and what you'll be doing.
So the conference comes out of a couple things. So the Dialogue on Progressive Enlightenment Conference. Initially, organizers several years ago, an old buddy of mine, Dr. Loomis Elair at the University of Michigan, we went to graduate school together. We spent a lot of time in graduate school talking about how African Americans in college, undergraduate education and graduate education, seem to be creating barriers between their own individual academic success and the African-American community. So those major economic indicators that we spoke about earlier, those have persisted despite the fact that more and more African-Americans get doctoral degrees, medicine degrees, law degrees, undergraduate degrees every single year. And so one of the ideas that we came up with years ago was to create a space where individuals could talk amongst one another. So that's the D in the DOPE Conference, Dialogue. Folks have written for years about the inherent brilliance, talents of the community, and not just from an expert sort of standpoint. So one of the really interesting things about colleges is students get very accustomed to walking into classrooms and thinking that I don't know anything and it's the job of the professor, the faculty member to teach me everything. Well, the dialogue idea sort of turns that around and says, no, you do have something to offer. You do have lived experience. There's a tremendous amount that you could bring to a collective understanding of what's going on, and we engage that through the dialogue process as opposed to a lecture or monologue sort of format. So the first is getting folks to talk to one another. Each of the featured speakers for all 3 years of the DOPE Conference have participated on essentially their own dime. So through funding at the university, we pay for their travel expense, but no one gets any. There is no honoraria. There's no. If you're familiar with the conference circuit, you know it's a bit of a circuit. So one of the things at DOPE, our mission is to make sure that folks who are presenting really believe in that dialogue idea, and so they're not doing it for monetary gain.
Is there a connection between, you talked about earlier, this idea that more and more African Americans are receiving doctorates and higher education, but now there's a disconnect, a divide between that community and the community that they came from. Then you said, well, you know, we're talking about lived experience. That counts for something. You brought something to this class. What's the connection, and does that help bridge the divide?
It does, and that's related to the specific focus of this year's conference. Our conference theme is Tuitioned Hostility, the HBC and You. So to play on the, you know, historically black colleges and universities, one of the things we're going to encourage students and faculty and community members to think about this year is what is the relationship of their participation in the university paradigm and the larger community concerns. So take North Carolina A&T State University, for example, right here in Greensboro. Wonderful example of a brilliant collection of scholars, world-class thinkers, researchers, et cetera, all kinds of resources. The campus, if you haven't been there, I encourage you to visit. It's a palace, new construction, wonderful, great-looking place that sits right square in the middle of what most people would refer to as the hood. So impoverished living conditions, folks who are struggling literally just to keep the lights on. So that's very interesting from a sociopolitical standpoint, how you have this collection of energy, intellectually and otherwise, that is literally physically situated in the midst of folks who are struggling the most. So as a student, what does it mean to be a participant in college, perhaps as it relates to their larger community or and or family concerns?
Non-traditional students play an important part in this, too.
Absolutely.
So tell us about their role in all of this.
So this goes back to the African psychological side. So there's a tremendous amount written about the absolute import of family relationships, family dynamics. And so from a college standpoint, one really interesting question is, how are students often encouraged to perhaps to negotiate and perhaps even compromise their family considerations as it relates to college? Two quick examples: if a young woman becomes pregnant or has a child, now she's forced to consider what that means for her education. Or I've got a lot of students who come from areas all over North Carolina, all over the country, who may have to send money back home. And so what does it mean to, you know, be extracted from your home family situation in order to go away to Greensboro with this model of I'm bettering myself to then hopefully inform my community? Again, if you look back over the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years, that model isn't bearing any evidence. Things aren't, from a community standpoint, getting any better, despite the fact that more and more African Americans are becoming educated.
Is what you're describing part of, or what had been, the traditional mission of HBCUs?
No. So there's tremendous misnomers about, and this is, you know, hotly debated amongst the African-American intellectual community. But HBCUs as land-grant institutions were largely founded post-slavery in order to provide the sort of social conditioning and preparation for the masses of freed African descendants, to get them prepared for the oncoming industrialist society. And so Tuskegee, Hampton University, Howard University, North Carolina A&T, what would become North Carolina A&T State University, these are all institutions for those folks. So Logie Meacham and I were talking before the show about that sort of creates a tension for individuals who are interested in creating healthy spaces for African folks. The fact that by and large, state institutions like colleges and universities historically have played less than a healthful role.
So you have to undo some of the thinking and even some of the culture, university culture, both within African-American communities and in terms of the dominant culture.
Well, with that said, that's not to say that there aren't good things about the historically black college and university. There's a tremendous advantages, I think, that students gained in terms of their lived experiences, their ability to find, meet, and grow with other folks. not only from the African-American community, but from all over. And so it's really less about undoing and more about getting them to think about these things for themselves, to take what Paulo Freire referred to as the attempt at dialoguing with each other, meeting to name the world. What does this world, what does your experience, what does it mean to you as opposed to what you may get out of a textbook or an iPad?
You've invited students from a unique school in Atlanta called Black Star Educational Institute. Why did you decide to bring them?
We're really excited. The Black Star Educational Institute is a charter school in Atlanta, Georgia, and they approach K through 12 education from traditional African paradigms. And so whereas most curricula, K through 12 curricula is usually disproportionately or predominantly Western, they take ancient cultural traditions from Africa and use those in curricula to educate the children. Their results are I would say unbelievable, but I believe it.
Sounds like
their graduating seniors, for example, outscore median students in ACT and SAT scores. They're doing really important work. So they're coming to provide their model as an alternative to some of the traditional thought patterns that we see in universities.
It's like a great conference. Yeah. Brian, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being on the program.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Sims, Assistant Professor of Psychology at North Carolina A&T State University, organized this year's DOPE Conference. Takes place at A&T tomorrow and Friday. Send a note to dopeconference@gmail.com for more information. We're live from Greensboro today. Just ahead, we're going to meet a writer whose latest work challenges stereotypes about Muslim women. And blues singer Logie Meacham is with us as well. He's going to play us out just after I say you're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay with us, Logie.
Going to the conference, baby. Yes, it's gonna be DOPE. Yes, I'm going to the conference, baby. Me and little mama said it's gonna go, we're gonna be DOPE. They're gonna talk about me. I'm gonna be there early because I gotta hear everything they say. Yeah. Yes, we're gonna have a real good time. I'll meet you there right on cue. We're going to that conference. We don't have nothing else to do. There's gonna be real good information. Folks gonna talk a while. When we get through, we're gonna sit down and have a little smile. Yes, I'm going to the conference, baby. I'll be there early, don't you know? Well, I'm headed to the conference right after this show. I got to go.